This is a Pod Dealers Network podcast.
Man, I just like to have fun. Man, I know this the one you can see coming. Like, cats trying to collab with me like I need something. Nah, I'm cool playing the back. Y'all keep fronting. It's 4th and 40 time. You'll never see me punting. We are not the same. All I know is go for it and take bets from all of the niggas saying I won't score it. A decade of self-improvement and I was dope before it. Really, this is me falling forward. My history's all recorded. My victories, y'all ignored it. The sympathy, y'all can store it. Go ahead and leave it packed up with thoughts of me failing or can be in the backup. The idea of that shit alone leads me to crack up. Half of you ain't down as you claim to be. Wish you would act up. Give me a reason to go heathen. Angels on my shoulders, but trust me, I know demons. Flow cold with multiple meanings will leave you steaming. I mean, it could be angrily or painfully. I'll let you choose what the end game will be. It's the same to me. A gladiator sport. Let's give them what they came to see. Soul of a good guy, but I wouldn't suggest you play with me. I mean, I could go Chucky. Spit is disgusting. Shit'll get ugly. Eat niggas for brunch, then I finish my bubbly. Niggas is lunching out here fronting like they wantin' something. Knowing I'm a one-on-one and you another. I'm stop.
What is TWS Podcast, episode whatever? Who cares at this point?
The rant of the vindicated.
It's my podcast and I do what I want to.
People, listen.
Word, is it still live?
It's not working for me, Rip. We're going to keep going.
I know I changed my voice at work.
Bars on the radio.
What is TWS Podcast?
I'm ready.
I feel like Neanderthal.
Staring at my watch and I'm feeling so new school.
Suicide attempts, how many tries to take?
Damn, ready.
What I do and who I do it for. Yeah. And how I come up with this shit up in the studio. Yeah. All I want for my birthday is a big booty house. All I want for my birthday is a big booty house. When I die, bury me inside the Gucci style. When I die, bury me inside the Louis style. All I want for my birthday is a big booty house. All I want for my birthday is a big booty house. She got a big booty, so I
call her big booty. Gotta be. Top five dumbest lines of all time. Anyway, I don't want to smoke. Yeah. Anyway, welcome to another episode of the What Is TWS Podcast. As always, I'm your boy, J.Dot Flan, representing the White Pants Society. And I want to thank you first and foremost on this very auspicious occasion. I think that's the word. For spending some time coming to hang out with me, letting me talk about whatever it is that I talk about here. You could be anywhere else in the world, but you're here with me and I greatly appreciate that. Greatly appreciate that. It's my birthday. It's my 40th birthday of all birthdays. It's like, I don't know how to feel about it. 40. But yeah, so I'm up at like 3:00 in the morning. I did wait until it was officially my birthday, like till it was Monday before I even recorded this. So I don't have to talk about it being my birthday. And it's not, that seemed like it would have been weird. So I don't know. I waited. And I got lazy today. Today was just a day. Maybe it was like I could feel the 40 coming or something. I don't know. Today was a day. But anyway, here we are. It's my birthday and, we'll see how it goes. I'll keep you posted. I guess I did a couple bars with this episode. I wanted to do that. I've been in the mood to rhyme or whatever it is you call it. I never want to come across as one of those like 40-year-old dudes that's still trying to be young or still trying to rap or something like that, or some dude that's still trying to create a career in music, I guess, this late in the game. I don't know. I enjoy doing it. I'm a fan of the art form, and I think I'm pretty good at it. I'm nicer than most of the people you think are nice. So every once in a while, you gotta pat yourself on the back. I figured my birthday is as good a time as any. So it's my gift to y'all on my birthday. That's how dope I am. Anyway, man, things didn't have the greatest start for me this week. We'll start with, my Sheffy Lease updates.
Out of Pepe!
Yeah, so it started off rough, like the weekend. So I picked her up Friday. I go pick her up from school. And she's always happy to see me. She's always happy that I came to pick her up. My ex-wife texted me like the last visit and was just, I guess, on her unofficial like checking in to make sure you know you're supposed to pick her up today, and then also like slide in some good news. She was like, you know, just making sure you're picking her up today. She's excited about it. Like, all right, you know, yes, I am picking her up, but it's good to hear that she's excited about it. So yeah, she was excited to hear to see me, and you know, I was excited to see her. Great time. And then it immediately went to like, I don't even know what I asked her, but I know her response was, yeah, so I'm going to hang out with you again. And I was like, shit, like, okay, you know, do you not want to? Because I could call mom, you know. And she said, I said to her, like, it sounds like you don't want to hang out with me. She's like, I just don't understand why I have to have a second birthday. And I was like, oh, it, like, that one hurt almost even more. So if you didn't know, Sheffy Lisa's birthday was the first, you know, I always said, like, I think she waited. See, because my ex-wife went in to labor on, I guess, the 30th, and 23 hours later, we had my daughter, and I was like, man, she waited to December to get here, so we could have that December thing in common. And I also used to say that would keep me forever young, because, like, you know, her birthday being so close, like, this time is just her time. Nobody needs to think or acknowledge, you know, my birthday. I can just stay. I forget how old I was when she was born, but I wanted to stay that age forever. It didn't work out that way. But anyway, yeah, she was like, I don't understand why I have to have a second birthday party. And she's saying, like, real upset about it. And, you know, I don't know, like, I was in a position this year where I could actually, you know, do something and, you know, participate really in my daughter's birthday. And so, you know, I arranged a party for her at this trampoline park we got down here that she and I have been to before, and she had a great time. So I was like, all right, you know, this would be, you know, a dope thing. Get, you know, a couple of her friends or other kids there, and they could just play, and, you know, pizza and everything. And so, you know, I had never really done anything like that before. And, you know, my ex-wife just happened to reach out and ask me if I had any ideas on what to do. And I was like, bet, I do have an idea. I kind of wanted to do this. And then, you know, I checked into it, and I just went ahead and made the arrangements. And, you know, spare no expense. Like, I really, you know, I wanted the private room. You know, I did not get, like, the ultimate package. Like, they have different attractions at this trampoline park, and they give you like tiers of the package that you can buy. So you can get the very basic stuff where people can just do like the trampolines, or I don't know, they can do like they call them the tubes or whatever for young kids. And then you can get the stuff where they can do more. And then you can get stuff where they can do everything. And so I went like mid tier, because the top of the stuff is like, they got something where they strap you in and you just kind of like do a, I don't know, like a skyline dive around the park. It's kind of weird. I don't even know how to explain it, but I figured it wasn't nobody there old enough to do anything like that. So I need to get that. And it was funny, because I got there first with my daughter, and then my ex-wife and her husband showed up. And, you know, that's like the first thing you see when you come in is people doing this little thing where they're like, you know, attached to the rope, and they swinging across the park, and they're like, "Oh, yeah, that looks cool." And my immediate reaction was like, "Nah, I ain't pay for that. Just before anybody else gets excited, I ain't pay for that. It's not a part of the package." But other than that, you know, I went as all out as I possibly could, and it was going to be a considerable amount of money. And so, like, just before the day before the party, to hear my daughter like, "I gotta have a second birthday party," like, that just, it's like, shit, like, what did I do this? Like, did I seriously fuck up and, like, put a lot of money into something that she didn't even want? Like, and she's not going to care about? Because I have been off on the gift giving. I still remember the dinosaur ninja shirt. She was like, "Dad, you know I don't like dinosaurs or ninjas." And I was like, oh, shit. So, you know, it's I don't have the greatest track record of knowing what she likes. But, yeah, things got better after that. I brought her home, and I decided to give her my gifts to her, you know, when it was just the two of us, you know, so I didn't have to deal with, like, her reaction to anybody else's stuff, or maybe somebody was going to give her something better, something that she actually liked, and then and I would have had to deal with that disappointment. It's like if we in the house and it's just me and you, you know, and I give you something, I know, like, she knows how to react for dad to make sure that dad feels good. So yeah, that was my plan. I had some stuff. My father sent her some gifts, and my mother sent her some gifts. So I let her open all of that stuff. And I'm very bad at gift. Not bad at, like, picking out gifts and giving you a good from the heart gift. I'm very bad at, like, holding on to gifts. Like, I can't buy things too far in advance because then I want to give it to you. And I, you know, I typically am bad at waiting for the occasion to come before I give it to you. And yeah, and that kind of happened to me this weekend. Like, I bought her birthday and Christmas stuff at the same time. You know, I was just like, if I'm gonna spend money, like, I'd rather rip the Band-Aid off and just, like, let's go ahead and spend it all right now so I can deal with it and come to terms with it, and the money's gone and I don't have to think about it no more. So that's what I did. But my bad gift giving kicked in. And when it was time to, like, decide what I was giving her for her birthday and what I was giving her for Christmas, I was, I don't know. I gave her more than, I don't know, I had planned. But I wanted to do something sentimental, like a dad gift to his daughter. And then I wanted to do something, you know, more on the, practical is probably not the right word, but just more a typical gift. Not so much a toy, because I'm trying to, like, she seems to enjoy education and learning right now. So I'm trying to, like play into that. Like, all right, if you want to do that, then we can have fun doing that. And so, yeah, I expected the sentimental gift to be the hit. I got her a music box, right, with a little ballerina that spins around and plays a tune. And she's very girly. And, you know, I'm warming up to the idea of her, you know, being into jewelry and stuff. And I figure, like, if I participate in it, then I can steer it a certain way where we talking about little, you know, unicorn bracelets and, you know, like I don't want her wearing earrings right now. And I don't even really want her being into, like, all this ornamentation and like, worried about that kind of stuff at six. But it's happening. So I'm like, I'm going to participate in it, and then I can kind of steer it. And then I just thought that just, like, this ballerina and this music box is going to be, that was going to be the thing. And she kind of opened that, and she was excited for maybe, like, 2 or 3 minutes. And then it was like, all right, whatever. But the thing I got her, the practical educational gift, that seemed to be, like, the bigger hit. So I got her this science experiment kit. And I think I took pictures and put it on Instagram. We did the whole, like, Professor Elise. Matter of fact, you know, just so everybody knows, she prefers to be referred to as Professor Chef Elise. You know, she wants you to say the whole thing every time, all the words, Professor Chef Elise.
Out of Pepe!
But yeah, we did the whole Professor Elise thing, and we did a couple experiments, which was dope. And she did, like, she was just super into that. You know, she put on it came with a lab coat and, like, goggles, and that was the big hit. So things turned around quickly. It went from Dad got to do his second birthday party with Dad to kind of, like, we having a really good time, and you know, she's enjoying stuff she got from Dad and everything. So that was good. And then Saturday came, and that's when the birthday party was. And we did, like, a late evening party. We did, like, 5 o'clock to 7 o'clock p.m., which I think threw some parents off because it's like, why is this so late? But, you know, the idea was we get them there. It's a trampoline park. They get to run around, jump, eat some pizza. And by the time they leave at 7 o'clock, everybody should be ready to go home and go to bed. Like, just wear them out real quick. But yeah, we get there. You know, I let everybody know what I did and did not pay for. So, like, don't think. I'm just saying, go up there at your own expense. And we get to the room. It was just a good time. She was happy to be there. Her friends had a great time. I was really kind of worried about it. Because as much as I love this trampoline park, like, it's run by, like, kids, like, teenagers at best. And they're not really watching anybody or preventing people from doing things that they're not supposed to do or anything like that. Matter of fact, when it came to the stuff I didn't pay for. I let people know I did not pay for it. But these don't seem like the people, the kind of people running this place that are that. They don't give a fuck. Like they don't seem to care at all. So I don't think anybody's going to stop you from doing it, whether or not you got the right color wristband or whatever. And that turned out to be 100% true. Some people did do it with no questions asked. It was kind of dope. But yeah, she had a great time jumping all over everything. It is weird in a pandemic where like places still have ball pits, which just seem to be like we had full on discussions, the parents in the room, about like what we hope they're doing to sanitize. They got to be washing it. I'm sure they got something they spray on it. Yeah, but I would think they still got to take the balls out and wash them. And if, like, we had full on discussions about what we hope hypothetically is happening with these balls in this ball pit that our kids are just diving in, no mask and everything. He was hoping that everything turns out okay. But now it was a great time had by all. One of the funniest moments throughout the whole thing was we get everybody back in there. It's time for pizza. And everybody's putting on the hats and we passing out plates and getting pizza. And then, you know, at some point, my ex-wife looks over at me, like she tries to catch my eye. And, you know, she's like trying to direct my eye to a specific little kid that's sitting at the table. And she mouths to me, like, do you know who that kid is? And I'm like, man, fuck no, I don't know who any of these people are. Like, you know, like I invited my homie Chad there. And so, like, I knew him. And the people he came with, but I ain't know nobody else. So, like, you know, it was no way I was going to be in there like, oh, you're not supposed to be in here, little kid. I don't know who any of these people are, but apparently we had a party crasher. And I can't fault her. I feel like she was a little girl who saw a great opportunity. She saw an open chair. I think I had space allotted for 15 kids. And I don't think a full 15 showed up. So she saw an opportunity. She saw a space she could fit in. She slid in. She put on a hat and she ate pizza. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, you can't even be mad at that. If you was a kid, you probably would have done the same thing. But yeah, we had a little party crasher. And the big concern was not so much that she was in there eating the pizza, because we had way too much. We had more food than we could do anything with. We had more everything than we could do anything with. And it's like, yeah, if you want something, you know, cool. But it's like, but where are your parents? Like, no, you've been in here for a minute and like nobody has come looking for you. And we don't know how to, like, how do you just walk a kid around? Like, who baby is this? Like, you know, we couldn't figure out how we were supposed to reconnect her with her parents. They turned out to be having a party in the room next to us. And so maybe she just got confused and went in the wrong door. But it was a weird moment. Weird moment. But other than that, like, we left, you know, Elise told me it was the best birthday party ever. You know, she got home, we had a great time, she, you know, played with some of her gifts. It was a good dad day. You don't get a lot of good dad days when you're like the part-time parent. But this was a good dad day. So I felt happy that I was, you know, that this year has gone the way it's gone, so that I was in a position where I could do something for her. I could be there and I could be present. And she can, you know, hopefully remember this and maybe, you know, I don't know if it'll become a tradition or something, but, you know, I don't know. I feel like strides were taken. It was a good dad day. As quickly as things are like good dad days, then they flip immediately and you can have bad dad days. So, yes, Saturday was the party, Saturday night. Sunday morning, she gets up. She sleeps in late, which I was grateful for. I got some extra hours. And we get up, we have breakfast. We're having a good day. It's time for her to get dressed, get ready, go to meet mom. You know, ex-wife is texting me to let me know how far out they are and that kind of stuff. So I get her out there, get her all packed up, get her out there, get her to the car. You know, her mom was talking to me about like Christmas plans and how we could maybe split up the 2 weeks that she's going to be out of school. And that's cool. And she's in the car, and her husband's in the car. And at some point, Elise, you know, is, and even in this moment, I don't know which one of us she was talking to, but at some point she was just like, "Daddy," and I said, and both of us said yes at the same time. And that, I don't know, I don't know if I'm supposed to not be hurt by that or what, but that got to me, and that kind of flipped from the good dad day to the bad dad day. But it's not that big of a deal. It's not, but it is. But it's not. But it kind of is. I don't know. But that's my Chef Elise update. She had a birthday. She's six, officially six now, and she now goes by Professor Chef Elise.
Out of Pepe.
Please say the whole thing every time. But yeah. All right. So on to me. That was her birthday. Now it's my birthday. Stop living in the past. 40. So far, you know, not much of a celebration. It's 3 o'clock in the morning. Not supposed to be. My dad did send me a card. He sent me a card at the same time he sent Elise's stuff. But I was in no rush to be 40, so I did not open it until tonight. Appreciate you, Pops. You know, if you're listening to this, which I'm sure you're not, but it's cool. Had a little money, you know, some money in there. I don't typically carry cash. Now I got some cash that I can, I don't know, maybe buy some lotto tickets or something with. It's a cool card, though. It's, so you think you're 40, and then it's got a bunch of things in here that are like indications that you might be 40. So I thought I'd run through a couple of these. Because they don't all necessarily make sense to me. So let me see which ones fit me. See, first one. If your idea of getting high definition is buying new bifocals, you might be 40. I ain't there yet. I do wear glasses. They're not bifocals. I don't think my vision is that bad. It's definitely bad, though. I'm not the age where, like, I don't... There are some people who, like, can't see the difference between high definition. Like, they don't... Like, 1080p and 4K, all the numbers and things don't make, you know, any sense to them. I'm like, dog, you can't see that? Like, I watch anything in 4K. I watch Squirrels, without nature channels, it don't matter. Like, if it's 4K, I just watch it, you know, for no fucking reason. Every TV in here is 4K. Now, humble brag, but, you know, every TV in here is 4K because it's necessary. Why would I have a TV and then not be able to do, you know? And then now 8K is about to be a thing, and I'm going to have to, we'll cross that bridge when we get there. Number two, if you sit down in a rocking chair and can't get it rocking, you might be 40. You might be 90 if you can't do some shit like that. If you can't rock in a rocking chair, you got a serious problem. Like, that's not something that you need to send a card about. I don't know. Like, I think I'm a long way from not being able to rock in a rocking chair. I got a couple decades before that's a problem. If your underwear creeps up on you and you kind of enjoy it, this is where it's getting weird. This is where it's getting weird. If you are the type of person who enjoys it when your underwear creeps up on you, I don't know. Let me know. Put something in the comments or something. Send me a text or an email or whatever. flan@whatistws.com. Hit me up and explain to me why in any world your underwear creeping up on you at any age would be an enjoyable experience. That's not cool. This is the one I think relates. I can understand this one 100%. If you wake up with that awful morning after feeling and you didn't do anything the night before, you might be 40. And being sober now, like almost going on 3 years, I wake up some mornings and I'm like, this feels like a hangover, like, and I didn't drink. Like, it doesn't make any sense to have the hangover without the, like, I'm going to get all the bad parts of drinking with, like, none of the good parts. Not to say that there are any good parts. I mean, there are. People enjoy it. But that happens to me a lot. I wake up feeling hungover, and I ain't do a goddamn thing. I guess that's indication that I'm 40. If you go out on the dance floor and someone asks if you need a push to get started, I don't go out on the dance floor, so fuck that. You won't catch me dancing. I dance two places. There are two places that I dance. If you want to see me dance, you have to catch me in one of these two locations. It's either the grocery store or Target. If you can catch me in one of them two places, I'm probably putting on the show. I'm cutting the rug. But anywhere else, I don't dance. I don't even two-step. Don't look for it. If you start getting senior citizen discounts at the movies, that's this is way off, way off. But yeah, I appreciate the card that first card of the my official 40th year on this planet. So it's much appreciated. I don't think I'm as bad off as some of those scenarios claim. I figured I would try to, you know, I think times like these are times where you kind of need to reflect, be introspective, and not always just be hard on yourself. Not always about what you can improve or what you need to change, stuff like that. Sometimes it's what you've done. And I think this past, year and a half, almost 2 years or whatever, has been tough on all of us. And we've all faced situations that we probably had the thought in our head, I don't know how I'm going to make it through this. And then we're all still here. So everybody in these past couple of years has accomplished something that they weren't sure that they could accomplish or maybe didn't think they could accomplish. But we did it anyway. So I'd like to go through a couple of my proud moments of my 39th year. Now that we're doing 40. Number one on the list has got to be maintaining my sobriety. And I'm going to say this. These last couple of months, 39 made it tough. They was trying. Like, between breaking my arm and then the kidney infection and multiple ER visits and, you know, having to take off of work when you get a new job, and just the pandemic itself and the isolation and all that, this has been a tough year, you know, for anybody that's dealing with these kind of issues. So if you know somebody that's in that community that has, you know, a history of those kind of things, or maybe just, I don't know, just check on your folks, everybody, whether they're dealing with things like this or not, just check on them, talk to them. Whatever, it means a lot to people. I'll get to that later. Other things that I'm proud of. Moving out of the situation that I was in. You know, I was living, I did 2 years in sober homes. Two different locations. I actually helped open a new house. And I built some great relationships and friendships with people there. It definitely put me in a place where I could do this on my own now. I wasn't ready then. I definitely think I would have gone back out if I had been left to my own devices, you know, 2 years ago. But being in an environment with other people going through it and there being consequences, and accountability, that definitely kept me on the path. This has been crazy, moving out and being on my own again. Just to say that at 39, that moving out and being on your own was a big thing, but it was a huge thing for me. And the fact that I maintained this and am maintaining my sobriety, it's a proud accomplishment for me. Something I'm definitely proud of. The other thing I'm proud of for myself this year is that I've been getting a lot better at being consistent. You know, the streak has continued with these episodes. We're closing in on the end of the year, and I ain't missed a week yet. It's going to be some filler content. I'm just saying, I'm going to get the episodes out, and it's been rough. I've been getting a lot better at script writing and stuff the last couple of weeks. This is a freestyle episode because it's my birthday, so just forgive me. I do what I want. It's my day. I have been getting a lot better at being consistent in every way. You know, credit's getting better because I'm paying bills on time. And it was never like I didn't pay bills because I couldn't pay bills. I just wasn't good at keeping track of things and doing stuff. And I would just look up like, oh shit, I ain't paid this in 3 months. And I hate to go, but it's not a good look for an adult. So I've been doing some high level adulting or some basic ground level adulting. I've been doing some entry level adult, but that's a step up for me because I wasn't quite there. But yeah, this year I've been much better at being consistent and being reliable, being somebody you could count on to do what he said he was going to do or be where he's supposed to be, that kind of thing. I'm also very proud of the relationship that I've built with the two most important women in my life, that being my daughter and my mother. My mother and I had our spats. We had our times. Like, as a kid, I moved out the house on Mother's Day. I think I did an episode about this. I moved out of my mother's house on Mother's Day. Didn't tell her. I think she came outside because my cousin was pulling up. My cousin's pulling up, getting out the car with a dozen roses. My homie, my brother, is pulling up in a U-Haul because we've been ready to pack my stuff so I can get out. And it was just like, that's my gift to you, Ma. And she probably appreciated that, but I was trying to, you know, it was meant to be a jab, but she was probably like, yeah, get the fuck out. But, yeah. But now, you know, when I talk to her, like, we tell each other, like, I probably talk to you more than I talk to anybody else. And my mom will just call me because she needs somebody to talk to, or she'll call me, you know, for whatever. And that's a good feeling. Yeah, it's a good feeling that, you know, that she and I are close and I know I can reach out to her and that I'm reaching out. Like, that has been a problem for me for the past 39 years, is that, you know, when shit is going left, I don't want to admit it. I don't want anybody to know that, you know, I feel overwhelmed or something's wrong or I'm hurt. You know, there was a lot of my toxic masculinity, and I guess a lot of toxic masculinity that I think people don't talk about, and that maybe it would be more palatable for men if we did talk about it in this sense, is a lot of the toxic masculinity is the damage we do to ourselves. Like, it's not so much, I'm not going to say it's not so much, but it's not just, you know, how it affects other people, but a lot of it is, a lot of these, you know, masculine traits or these things that we think we're supposed to do are hurting us. And I spent a long, you know, part of my life not being able to accept help, not being able to talk to people, not being able to admit things, not being able to admit when I was struggling or scared or whatever, and just holding on to those emotions and then self-medicating, you know, finding unhealthy coping mechanisms to try to deal with things because I couldn't deal with them normally because I didn't know what that was. You know, I had a bar, since I'm doing bars this week. I had a bar back in the day that was like for the pain. I'll just take the shot and let it burn inside. I guess that's why I write, because I ain't never learned to cry. Like, and I mean, those were my ways of like reaching out. That was my cries for help. Like, if you listen to some of my music back then, I told you what the fuck was going on. But anyway, and then yeah, the relationship with my daughter, like just the Sheffy Lee stuff, now the Professor Lee stuff. We're close. I know that my daughter loves me. I know that she knows that she's loved. You know, there was a time when I was in rehab. She was being like potty trained, and I remember my, you know, ex-wife, then my wife, you know, calling her from rehab and her telling me like, you know, your daughter used potty the other day. And, you know, I told her I was so proud of her, and she said, "Daddy's not proud of me." And that was like the most heartbreaking moment in the world, because I couldn't be there to make her feel better about that, or to make sure she understood I was proud of her. But she knows now. Today she knows. She knows I'm proud of her. She knows I love her. She knows I think she's talented. And I think she's amazing. And that there's nothing she could ever do to make me think otherwise, you know. And that's very important to me. Probably the most important thing to me. Let's see. On a softer note, I'm also very proud of the cooking and the domestic shit that I've picked up this year. Cooking especially, man. Like, the fact that I made some lemon curd this weekend, and I feel like it's the best lemon curd I've ever made. Like, I'm really, you know, improvising, going off script and doing my little jazz thing with the lemon curd. I've taken the recipe that I had that I thought I liked, and I've cut out some of the sugar because it was a little too sweet to me. I've added a smidge, more salt, more butter, and this time, secret ingredient. Here's a cheat code for anybody doing lemon curd. I put a little vanilla extract in it, just a little bit, but it just rounded out the flavor. You get that nice sour hit, but there's like some smoothness in the front and the back end of that. I sound real technical when I'm talking about this, because that's how I feel when I make it. Like, I'm a chef. Like, I'm really doing something. I'm proud of my limit curve. I'm proud of my tea obsession. It is an obsession. I got another pound of tea in this past week, and I have a lot of tea. I definitely have a fear of running out of tea, but I used to have a fear of running out of liquor, running out of whiskey. Now I have a fear of running out of tea. So I have a lot of tea, and it's not possible for me to run out of tea at this point, but I'm probably going to keep buying more because I don't want it to be possible. I made a pot roast this year, which was big. That was very dope. I made Mongolian beef on my own this year. Strawberry jam. I did some dope things in the culinary world this year. I'm very, very proud of those things. It was a good 39 was a good year for me in terms of food and branching out and learning how to make things and not just eating, you know, pizza and chicken and rice, which was my staple for the majority of my life. I do have some things on the list that I want to do for this 40th year. English muffins from scratch being number one on that list. You know, I do the lemon curd and strawberry jam. English muffins, got to do it. Got the recipes. Been lazy on that one. And then last but not least, something that I'm not so much proud of, but I'm grateful for. And that's the people around me. If I could take anything from that, I say that I'm proud that I've become the kind of person that can be enough of himself around people that I seem to have attracted some great people, around me. You know, I when it comes to this podcast and the podcasters, you know, that I deal with, I think they're dope, awesome people. And the fact that they, you know, support me and encourage me in any way, you know, is amazing to me. And I'm definitely appreciative of it. You know, I got some people around me that are extremely loyal and extremely, supportive. And it's not blood. This is not family. These are people who don't have a reason for this. There's no incentive for them. Like they don't get anything from me. I have learned this year, I had to cut a couple people off because I could see that the relationship was about what they could get from me. And whenever they were in a position of need, I was an important part of their life. And when that dynamic changed, I was not as important. But these people I'm talking about now are people who there is nothing they need from me. There is nothing I can give or provide to them. And but they are still loyal and supportive of me, you know, because that's who they are and because they appreciate who I am. And that's an amazing thing for me. You know, Chad. He doesn't know how much I appreciate him, but that's my homie, that's my brother. I'm gonna be better with that, with calling everybody a brother. I called a lot of people brothers over the years that I don't talk to no more, and that's not how brotherhood's supposed to work. But we'll put that on the list of things I want to do when I'm 40. I do want to say, man, like it's here's a quick example of how easy it is to have a tremendous impact on people. Like, you know, my big thing in the last couple of years has been connection and staying connected. I think, you know, we're in better positions, you know, for ourselves and for the people around us if we stay connected to those people. And staying connected, it can be very, very easy. Quick example. I got a homie that I was in rehab with, and in rehab, and I used to hate this, but in rehab, they would tell you, don't make friends. Don't make friends. Like, it was about 90 of us in this facility I was at, all men. And they would constantly tell us, out of the 90 of you, maybe one or two of you is going to stay sober. You know, I hated that. Like, just don't tell people that they're destined to fail. You know, that gives them an excuse to fail. But, I mean, some of it's true. I've had to watch a lot of people go back out. But I got one homie in particular that, and this is all our relationship is. We every once in a while, we'll call each other on the phone and like actually have a conversation or talk about something. But 99.9% of our relationship with each other is every day. I get a text message from him that says good morning, and I say good morning back. And some days I say good morning. I've been trying to beat him recently. I'm like, shit, I can't. He can't be the one to say good morning to me first every day. Sometimes I got to get him first. So I'm trying to beat him. But every day I know I'm going to hear from him, and he knows he's going to hear from me. And that is that. It is so important. Like, it's so important. It's so important that I respond to those text messages. It's so important that I send one if I don't see one. But that's it. That's it. And that has kept me going sometimes. I don't know if it's done the same for him, but that has kept me going sometimes. Any moment where I'm sitting around thinking nobody cares and I get a text message from a dude who got no reason to give a fuck about me just to say good morning. You know, sometimes it'll be have a blessed day. Maybe sometimes it'll be, you know, a scripture or one of them daily affirmations or something like that. But again, like 99% of the time, it's just good morning. Good morning. I try to mix it up. Good morning, sir. Good morning, bro. Good morning, homie. Good day. You know, I try to not say the same thing every day. But that's it. Every day. Every day. And that's how easily you can have an impact on somebody. That's probably saved me from a lot of bad decisions. Is just a text message that I get from a dude. He might have him scheduled. I don't know. But, I mean, that's enough. So I want to do more of that. These are my goals for this 40th year of Flan's existence. And one of them, at the top of my list, is for me to be a better friend. I am the kind of person that, if you need something, I got you. If there's something I can do for you, absolutely. You know, it's not a question. But I'm not so much a reacher outer. I'm not so much a, I'm not going to call you. You know, I don't keep in contact with people. And I want to get better at that. I want to stay connected with people. Because people are important to me, and these people are important to me. I don't do small talk. Sometimes I don't ask how your day is because I don't want to know. I'm not trying to take on no more problems today. But I got to get better. I got to get better at just staying connected with people and having the same impact on others that people have on me. I want somebody to have me on their list of, of the dope people around them. And that takes, work, participation, staying involved. With the people around you, and I got to get better at that. So that's number one on my list. I want to get better at planning shit. I want to get better at like actually planning shit out, like especially for this podcast. Like, there's some things I want to do. I want to do some stuff with video, and I got all these grand ideas, but they take planning and organization, and I'm not good at those things. I'm not an organized person. I'm not a person that plans. I'm very much a fly by the seat of my pants. Improvisational freestyle. I don't freestyle with the rap, but I freestyle with everything else. I want to get better I think that's a good skill to have, that you can in the moment, adapt and be flexible. Flexible. How did I fuck that word up that bad? Flexible. I can say it. I know I can. But I want to plan more things out and and not always be in that position, especially when it comes to the podcast. I got some big things that I want to do, but they definitely require me to be more organized and a better planner than I am at the current moment. I do want to, and this, everybody says this, I want to overcome fears. I want to be a little less self-conscious. Some of the stuff that I want to do for the podcast and for this whole thing is going to require me to move past some of those things. I do not like people looking at it. I don't like to be seen. I enjoy the podcasting because I can be this disembodied voice, and we can have conversations and I can talk to people without them seeing me or me seeing them. If you wanted to talk about something I hate more than anything, is if somebody tries to play the podcast while I'm sitting there. Like, no, that's not the way this is supposed to work. I'm supposed to record it alone. I'm gonna put it out there in the metaverse, whatever you're calling it now, and then you get to listen to it away from me. please don't try to listen to my podcast in front of me, and definitely don't play it out loud. I have some headphones on or something. I have some decency. Stop being a savage out here. But yeah, I'm trying to get away from that. I'm trying to not be so self-conscious. Be able to promote myself. Be able to deal with being seen. Do some things on camera. Put my face out there. I think, you know, if people can see you, they can relate to you a little better. So I think you see some of those efforts right now. But it's definitely something I want to get better at. And I think the number one thing that'll be, because I'm going to try to find, what I try to do is find something small that is a sign of the larger goal. Like find a symptom that shows, you know, that things are getting better. And so the thing that I think will show me that's very simple to do, that I'm less self-conscious, is to wear hats. I want to wear hats in my 40th year. I buy hats. I like hats. I buy them. I think they're dope. I always have this vision in my head of how cool I would be with this hat. And then I never wear them. I never can figure out how to be confident enough to rock a hat. I'm going to pull off hats this year. I do like the beanies and stuff when it's cold. There got to be a reason to have a hat on. But I got other hats. I have other hats. And I've purchased these hats. I have invested in these hats. And I have not worn the hats. Because I'm afraid of what you motherfuckers might say. Fuck y'all. Anyway, nah, I love y'all. But I'm going to wear hats this year. But yeah. I'm going to end it on that note. I'm wearing hats. That's about all I got. I appreciate y'all for rocking with me on my 40. You know, it means a lot to me, the support that this podcast has gotten. Somebody hit me up this week, because I guess I didn't know this was all of a sudden like Spotify wrap-up week. I got my wrap-up. I ain't putting that shit out. The numbers, they look good, but they don't look as good as some of the other numbers I got. So I'm self-conscious about that. Other numbers I see y'all with, so I'm self-conscious about that. But I did have somebody hit me up and say that my podcast was their number one podcast and their Spotify wrap-up. That was very dope, and I appreciate that. And if anybody else is in that situation, if I was even on the list, I appreciate you too. If I wasn't on the list, I still appreciate you. Whatever, you know, stay connected. Buy a shirt. I got a shirt. We stay connected on it, so you can buy that shirt. But I don't even know where I was going anymore. But yeah, no, I appreciate everybody. And yeah, I do my usual calls to action. My homie Zaya Fitness, hit him up on livealphafitness.com. That's livealphafitness.com. He can get you right with your fitness and nutrition goals. He's a dope individual. So yeah, you know, if you're looking for that kind of help, he can get you where you need to be. If you're looking for ways to be impactful in people's lives, other than just, you know, sending them a good morning text every day, you can definitely hit up ttcharities.org. You know, they always have some dope programs going. Donate what you can, time, money, books, clothes, a like, a repost, a retweet. It all goes a long way. Great organization. It can definitely help you be impactful in your community. ttcharities.org. Hit them up. And then, you know, I got my merch. What is tws.com/store. We still in hoodie season. So coupon code hoodie season, HOODIESZN, will get you 20% off all like outerwear, winter wear type stuff, even the mugs, anything you use during the cold weather season is available for the 20% off for coupon code hoodie season. One of the people I was talking about earlier that's been like extremely supportive and loyal and encouraging. Hit me up with some shirt ideas. I need to figure out a way to kind of like, I don't feel comfortable taking the idea and profiting off of it without, you know, some of that going to the person that the idea came from. I don't think they're looking for that, but it don't feel right to me to do it any other way. So I got to figure out, you know, that whole situation. But yeah, I got some more shirts coming, but you can get what's out there right now, 20% off hoodie season. And that's it. Until we speak again, be safe, be easy, be the light. And know this, if you know nothing else, I love y'all.
Last call for alcohol. Yeah. If this is it, like if this is the last joint, this is the last hurrah. It's the last call for alcohol, baby. I gotta say, whether you knew it or not, it's pretty much at the finest bar establishment, the finest spirits and libations y'all could have had, baby. You might realize it now, you might have realized it back then. You might realize it later.
Love.